come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
A couple of days ago, put my shoes on, and amazing thing, I put my shoes on, and I noticed something was wrong with my right shoe, with my right foot. I was walking differently because it was uncomfortable. Something was happening with my right shoe, and I didn't know what it was. It was very annoying. So I took my shoe off, and I found out that there was a rubber band had fallen into my shoe. And this little rubber band was so annoying that it changed my walk. I wonder, since the Lord ministered this to me, how many little things do we allow in our lives to change our walk? As I was driving here this morning, I was, if the earlier I get up on Tuesday morning, the later I get here. I don't know how that works, but it happens every time. So I was rushing to get here. I drove right past my turnoff, and then I went ahead and I turned another way to get back here. And lo and behold, here I am. I'm thinking about the study and what we're going to talk about and so forth. And lo and behold, I come along on the side street to go right into the parking lot here, and I am right behind a tow truck. And he stopped. And he's taking up most of the road. And my immediate thought was, this is so annoying. And the Lord immediately said, is it going to change your walk? So the Lord, I hope the Lord ministers that to us all. And we don't let those little things annoy our walk. And so we get into our study now. And so, Lord, as we get into our study, Shannon always prays such beautiful prayers, and I feel so ready to teach after she has shared with us in prayer, Lord, and in worship. But I just feel like I need to just come before you, Lord, and just ask you to be present, Lord, to ask you to minister to us by the power of your word, Lord. And that I would only speak those things that are from you, and the ladies would only hear the things that are from you, because I know I can only be responsible for what I say and not for what they hear. So, Lord, I thank you for your presence amongst us, and we pray for the awareness of that as we listen and move through this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are in the book of John, and when my kids were really little kids, we lived in the middle of nowhere, which you guys have heard before. We lived in absolutely in the middle of nowhere. You could walk as far as you could walk, and you were still nowhere. And every day, every weekday at 12 o'clock, Paul Harvey was on the radio. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard Paul Harvey's Rest of the Story. Some of you would be familiar with that, but there was one story that really stuck in my mind all these years from the time that my children were little, and it is the story of the man and the birds. Now, this man was, he was a very kind man. He was a generous man. He was decent. He was a good man, but he just could not accept this issue of Jesus or of God incarnating, becoming man. He just couldn't accept it. His wife was a believer. Here it is on Christmas Eve. He tells his wife, I'm sorry, I just can't be a hypocrite. I just really can't go with you to church tonight. I would just feel like I was being a hypocrite to go. And so he sent them off, his wife and his children, off in the car. And as they drove away and he settled himself in near the fireplace reading his newspaper, and all of a sudden it started snowing, and then it was started snowing more. And so now we've got a lot of snow going on, and all of a sudden he hears a thump, 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 thump against his window. He thought somebody was throwing snowballs at his window. And he looked outside and he saw, here are these birds. They're trying to get in to where it's warm, where the light is, and they are hitting his plate glass window. And they're flailing and trying to keep going. And so he looked at them and he goes, I've got to do something. What can I do? And he gets his clothes, I imagine he had his clothes on, but he gets his boots on and he gets his coat on and he goes out to the barn. And out in the barn, he opens up the doors, he turns on the light, he knows that it's warm in there, and so he just tries to get them to go into that barn, that nice, warm, lighted barn. He goes over to them, and they're still flailing, they're still trying to get in through this window, and he does this, he tries to get them to go. They won't go anywhere. They kind of flurry around. And then he thought, okay, so I'll just put some breadcrumbs along the way, and they'll follow those breadcrumbs. But no, they still would not go into the barn, into that nice, warm barn. And then suddenly, as he was trying, what else can I do? What else can these poor guys, what else can I do with these guys? If only I could become a bird. He realized they were afraid of him. He realized they were terrified of him. He could, if he could only find a way that they could trust him, if there was only a way that he could speak their language, if there was only a way that it could all come together so that they understood he wanted to help them. If only I could become a bird and mingle with them and speak their language, then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. And he stopped. Because as soon as he thought that thought, the bells began to toll, "O come all ye faithful." And he fell to his knees and he accepted Christ. He understood what it was for God to become man. That story perfectly fits with our scripture. It perfectly fits. God became man and dwelt among us. Remember that this book of John, this Gospel of John was written 60 years after Jesus died. 60 years before before the Holy Spirit put into his heart to pen these particular words, to share these particular things that we talked about last week. And so it starts with in the beginning. In the beginning. Now, there are three different books that it says in the beginning. Of course, there's Genesis, in the beginning God. There is John here, in the beginning was the Word. And in 1 John, it says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. John is speaking as an eyewitness to the life of Christ. And so we move on here. We see clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who created and upholds all things. He came to give us eternal life. Each one of those books say that Jesus was, in fact, God. He is the Son of God. And again, John's purpose for writing this book is found in chapter 20, verse 31. "These things I have written to you that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Now, I had the most wonderful thing told to me this morning. A lady who has my granddaughter, Bethany's daughter, Taylor, in her class, they were asking a question, and some other kids said this was the reason that this happened. And Taylor, who is now 9, just turned 9, I think. She said, no, he said it so that they would believe that Jesus was God. She just said that. You see, she's learning the word already. She's learning what it means to walk with the Lord. And so we start with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning, not from the beginning, but in the beginning, because Jesus Christ, God, always was. He didn't have a beginning. He always was. He was the one who created everything. He will have no end. The Word has always been. The Word is God. The Word is one of the most wonderful names that describes Jesus Christ. It is one of the most wonderful words. The Word is the most wonderful word to describe him. Because why do I say that? Because words reveal thoughts and character. And so that's just what Jesus Christ did. He revealed God's thoughts and his character. And it would have been a good writer. You know, I suggested last week the book Simply Tuesday. There was something about the way that this woman wrote that made me want feel like I was right there in that place. That's what Jesus Christ came to do, that we might understand who God is, that we might come to that place of understanding who he is and why he came. Why did Jesus come here? What was his purpose in coming here to bring us salvation? The word means communication, and Jesus communicated to us eternal life. The Lord Jesus came to show God's love, and he wanted to save people from their sin. That's what the word is. He told his disciple, he that has seen me has seen the Father, in chapter 14, verse 9. Now, this Bible is also called the Word. You notice when Shannon was praying, she said, bless us as we continue our worship by the reading of the Word. This is the written communication of who God is. In this written area, it tells us who Jesus Christ was. It tells us who God is. It's all involved in there. It says in verse 3 that all things were made by him. All things were made by him. Now, as I was preparing for this, John Corson had something that I found very, very interesting. He said, this is the way that it works. The Father is the architect, the Son is the contractor, and the Holy Spirit is the laborer. The Father is the architect. He makes the plan. The Father, God, has a plan. He has a plan of salvation. The Son is the contractor. Now, the contractor provides the proper materials for the plan to come together. Jesus provided himself a sacrifice so that the Father's plan could come together. And then the Holy Spirit is the laborer. The Holy Spirit, spoken of in Genesis 1, tells us how the Spirit hovered over the deep, hovered over the face of the earth as things were being created. I know I've told you guys about it before, how I, when my girls were having babies and I was there at the hospital, and I hovered over them. And I hovered over them with a purpose, because that purpose was new life. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. He hovered over the face of the deep because there was new life about to take place. And so there he was, all put together. I think that's one of the best explanations of the Trinity that I have ever seen. And so that puts it so clear in my mind. In verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to light up this dark world of sin. He came for that purpose. He came to show people the way of salvation. He is the way of salvation, it says in chapter 14, verse 6. Many would not comprehend or understand it. And so in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it because men prefer darkness. The comfort of darkness. So many things happen in the dark. And we feel like the light never shines. It's never going to shine on that darkness. But I guarantee you this, that light will shine on that darkness because that light came for all men, for all of us, that we might be saved. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now we're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So he, in a man whose name was John, and we talked about John the Baptist, the text clearly tells us, and later John himself tells us who he was and who he was not. John will later say, John the Baptist will later say, I am simply a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's all that I am. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the prophet, and that's next week's lesson, I know, but I'm not a prophet, I'm not Elijah, I'm not this, I'm not the Christ. I'm just a voice. I love that John knew who he was. John the Baptist knew his purpose. I love that because John did not fit anywhere. Nobody was comfortable around John the Baptist. Locust and honey, come on. This morning, the ladies made some little, I think they were dates that they put chocolate on them, and they made little locusts. It was amazing, and they had some honey there for you to dip them in if you wanted to. But John knew who he was, and he really didn't care much about what other people thought he was. Character is who we are. Reputation is who people think we are. Many of us worry so much about our reputation that we don't spend a lot of time on our character. John knew who he was, and I love to be around people who know who they are and are not worried about whether or not other people know who they are. Because a lot of people, there are some people, not a lot maybe, but there are some people who want everybody to know. Everybody's going to know my name. Isn't that the old TV thing, fame? Everybody's going to know my name. I want everybody to know my name. Can we be that person that says, I want everybody to know the name of Jesus? I want everybody to know Jesus' name. My name, it's nothing. I'm just a person. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to remember that. And so he tells us that John came for a witness, to bear the witness of the light. Again, John, the author and John the Baptist were eyewitnesses to what Jesus did. And I don't want to get into next week's lessons. I'm wandering off there. So they were both eyewitnesses. It is like John is being described ahead of time that he's about to take the witness stand. And here he is being told about who he is. John the Baptist will later tell us that he was not the Christ, but he was simply that witness, that voice crying in the wilderness. In verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world, to every man who comes into the world. That light is available to every person who comes into the world. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He came to his own, it says in verse 11, and his own did not receive him. Now, the translation here is he came to his own. The first, he came to his own, that word is translated, it means here, it means creation. He came to his own creation, and his own creation recognized exactly who he was. You remember as he calmed the seas, as he said to the wind, stop blowing, and it stopped blowing. Remember how he walked on the water? You remember when he said, if these people don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. You see, nature knew who Jesus was. They recognized their creator. Now, I don't know what it would sound like if the rocks were crying out. I don't know. Would it be a chorus? Would it be them tumbling down a hillside? I don't know. It would have been incredible to have heard that. But anyway, fortunately, the people praised him, and the rocks didn't have to cry out. So, but the creation recognized who he was. And then it says, and his own did not receive him. And here we're talking about, this is translated, his people. His people did not receive him. They cannot open up to the light of men. They can't open up to him. The people, all creation recognizes who Jesus was. But his own people did not recognize who he was. The question is, they love darkness more than light, and they couldn't receive. The people did not receive him. And the question is, have you received him? Have you received him? Because in verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name. Verse 12. Here's an illustration. This past week, I was invited to a double birthday party. Jess Acuna turned 30, and her little boy, Zion Arrow, turned 1. And so we went to this birthday party, and of course, when I went to the birthday party, I came with a present that I had bought, and I brought them with me. Now, when I got there, the presents were just placed down in a particular place. Everybody could see all the presents stacked up there. She didn't take the present from me at that particular moment, and I wasn't able to stay to see if she opened up any of the presents while in the presence of the people. But she did talk to me afterwards, so I know that she did open it and just received the package. She received the present. She picked that present up, and she received it. And then she opened that present, and then she kept it. Now, I don't know if she will regift it, but for the sake of our illustration, we're going to say that she's going to keep it. And so she received it unto herself. She took it. She opened it, and she kept it. To everyone who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, it comes with a little tag to that. To those who believe in his name. To those who believe in his name. The word believe means to cling to adhere to rely on, to trust in. To cling to, adhere to, rely on, to trust in. But simply put, it means to put your weight on. Now, we have new chairs up here. And those of you who are sitting in the back, you don't know anything about these new chairs, but I hear they're really comfortable. But I didn't see any of you who came in here and looked at that chair and went, I don't know. I don't know, it might not hold my weight. None of us do that because we believe that that's going to carry us, that that's going to hold our weight. We believe that it can hold our weight. We're confident in its ability to hold our weight. You believe in his name, Jesus, that he is able to hold your weight. Jesus is able to hold our weight. He is able to hold us. And so we trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to him daily. Whatever time of day you do that, we do it daily. Verse 13, so daily, daily we come to him. So who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. Not born of blood. What does that mean? Not born of blood, that means that your precious Christian parents have nothing to do with you being a Christian. They may have done things that kind of directed you, but you are not a Christian because you had Christian parents. You are not a Christian because you had Christian grandparents or a grandparent that prayed for you. We are only Christians because we have come to Christ, nor of the will of the flesh, that is, not intellectually. No one can argue us into the kingdom. I'm telling you, you can argue with somebody for hours, and you are never going to make them accept Christ. So not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. No person can persuade us to accept Christ. No person can persuade us to accept Christ, but of God. God, by his Spirit, draws us to himself. Remember, God, the Holy Spirit is the laborer. He's the one who works to bring us in. That's why sometimes when you're praying for someone and you just want to keep telling them, you really need to accept Christ. You really need to accept Christ. When are you going to accept Jesus? What is going on in your life? We keep at them, we keep at them, we keep at them. Instead of loving them and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in their lives and bring that to them to that place of salvation. God calls me to love that person that's not walking with Christ and to love them into the kingdom. That's how I came to the kingdom. A friend loved me into the kingdom. And so that's what we need to do. It is the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through them. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the Message, it says the person moved into our neighborhood. The person moved into our neighborhood. I love that. He came and he dwelt among us. He came and he lived among us. He took on a physical body that was just like ours and he lived amongst us. You know the body that Jesus lived in? When he got cut, he bled. When he was beaten, it hurt. When he was on the cross, dehydrated. Now, I know a lot of other things had gone on. A lot of other things happened during that crucifixion. But one of the things that happens is that dehydration. You know what happens when you're dehydrated? You get the most horrendous headache. He had that headache because he had a body just like ours. Now, granted, it was a 33-year-old body. However, he hurt just like we hurt. It was a body just like ours. He came to live among us. Verse 14 goes on to say that he was full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. He was full of grace. What is grace? Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. Now, a lot of us know the other way to explain grace: God's riches at Christ's expense, and it cost Christ everything. God's riches at Christ's expense, and he was full of truth. The truth is that I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of salvation, and Jesus came, and he loved me enough to tell me that I was a sinner and that I was in need of a Savior. That is not, what is the two letters? That's not politically correct today. we don't want to call him a sinner. You know, it's like they do some things that aren't right, but we don't want to call him a sinner because they might really realize that they have a need for a savior. When Jesus came with the truth, and he wasn't afraid to tell us the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me, he said in John 14:6. Now in verse 15, John's on the witness stand again, John the Baptist, and he tells us that Jesus of whom he speak is preferred before me, for he was before me. In the beginning was the Word who created all things. John was simply that voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus came, John the Baptist, who knowing his place when he was in prison, I believe, and again, we're going into next week's lesson, but I personally believe that he said, I know my job here is done. And he seemed to be content with that. And then he went into glory. You know the story of Mary going to Elizabeth's house and how the baby leapt in the womb. I think that John the Baptist was that baby that leapt in her womb. And I believe that that was his call at that very moment to become a voice in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I believe that that was the day that he got that calling on his life. And John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. What an amazing man who could see that Jesus was so much more than he was, and he was content with that. How many of us today care so much about what people think about us? God knows all about us and loves us still. I love that. He knows all about us and he loves us still. John said, this man is much preferred before me because he is better than me. He is the Christ. He is the number one person, the Christ who is to receive our praise and our glory. Of his fullness we have received, we have all received grace for grace. Of his fullness we have all received and grace for grace. This grace is offered to everyone. God's riches at Christ's expense is available to everyone, to everyone. God's grace, undeserved kindness, that doesn't mean that God changed or that he just passes over sin. It just means that the Lord Jesus died on the cross. He bore the judgment that was meant for me. And therefore, God could deal with us in grace, forgiving us when we don't deserve forgiveness. Have you ever been forgiven for anything that you know you didn't deserve forgiveness for? Has any person ever forgiven you for something that you knew in your heart, I don't deserve that kind of forgiveness? I think most of us have had something in our life where we could say with that person, well, Jesus Christ says, I forgive you. And he doesn't even remind us that it's undeserved. We remind ourselves that it's undeserved. He just says, I forgive you. I laid down my life for you. I love you. And then it goes on to say in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. The law showed God's holiness and justice, but the law could never save people. It could only let us know that we have no ability, according to Galatians 3, we have no ability to keep that law, that we have a need of a savior. While God has ever been gracious, his grace was perfectly demonstrated through the death of his son, in our place. Through the death of his son in our place. So grace came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So no man can see God because God is spirit and has no bodily form. It says that in chapter 4, verse 24. It says that in Luke 24, 39. When God wanted to speak in the Old Testament, he took a body, He appeared as a body. Now, this was not, he did not take possession of Tom's body. He didn't, there wasn't the, people weren't able to say, oh yes, I recognize this guy. But it was someone different. He was there for a moment in time. It's called a Christophany. It's an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. So he would appear that way. He also appeared in the form of a flame of fire or a bright cloud in Exodus 24:10. He would appear that way. Men did not see him, but just the outward form. People could not even come near to him when he did reveal himself like this because they were sinful. But the Lord Jesus took a human body and lived in a world and showed us what God is like, showed us the love of God. John said, you see him as the Son of God. Now, I just want to go into next week's lesson again and just look at verse 34. And I seen and testify of this, this is the Son of God. Next, 35, again, the next day, John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And we don't have any account of John the Baptist saying, wait, you belong to me. Where are you going? You're taking after that guy? What? Who am I? See, remember, John knew who he was. He was a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And then we have them following Jesus at John the Baptist's blessing. Follow after him. And Jesus shows us who God is. That is the story of this book of John. That's the story. He became the Word. He is the Word that in the beginning was the Word. And what I was going to say earlier, the Hebrew language has approximately 70,000 words. This text was written in Greek. In Greek, there are 200,000 different words. So when we take our language and we say, I love macaroni and cheese, I love my daughter, I love my husband, I love roses, that's all the same word, but in Greek, they're all different. So the word is translated logos in the Greek, and it means something more. What it means, which we talked about earlier, is that communication. Jesus became the Word that communicated salvation to a world that was lost. And so, Father, I thank you for your word to us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that it would be indelibly etched onto our hearts, Lord, that we would love you with all of our heart, that we would praise you, that we would glorify you, that we would bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.